I've been watching hockey since as long as I can remember, since I was, you know, a little wee guy.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities.
I've been watching hockey all through the 70s and 80s. I mean, that's all I did.
On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner and Chad Graff.
You know, even before my parents deserted me, we used to watch hockey together.
We'll cover Wild, Gophers, Prep, and any puck topics you want to talk about.
Yes, I did want to play in the NHL my whole life. And, you know, I thought if I ever was able to, you know, pay the registration to get into real minor hockey, I think I might have got, you know, I believe I might have went to the show.
Hockey Talk on the Ticket right now. On the Ice on Minnesota's Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.
Kids, never do this. This is one of the most dangerous things in hockey. You poke the bear. You poke the bear.
Knocks this one down.
Talk about the number one penalty kill. Right now, the Wild haven't had a lot of good setups in the zone.
Coyle scores! Didn't need to be in the zone long. Charlie Coyle. Back to Pominville. This line has some jump here early in the third. Pominville to Granlund. Granlund waits. Fires! Pominville scores! Deflect into the Carolina zone. Hudobin to play it. Loose puck. Pominville fires. Save Hudobin. Rebound. They score! Parisi slides it by Hudobin.
Oh, my word. The Minnesota Wild with an unbelievable run in the down the East Coast on the Washington trip. A 2-1 win over the Washington Capitals. Follow that one up with a 2-1 win over the Carolina Hurricanes. Back-to-back numbers. They are absolutely, you can't even say white hot on fire. It's absolutely incredible what is happening with that hockey team. Hi, good everybody. It's the On the Ice radio show on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. We're at the XL Energy Center right now with this very special program. It's a two-hour extravaganza. We've got a kind of a bizarre transition going on. We're going to start here from the press box, and then I'm going to slide over to the Let's Play Hockey Expo. It's up around 10 o'clock, and we'll be catching up with a number of guests from Mike Carmen to Doug Johnson from Let's Play Hockey. And, you know, working on Henry Boucher, Tim Kolehmainen's going to be joining us here as well. And we'll also be probably reaching out and grabbing just about anybody I can along the way. Right now, as we speak, we've got the St. Cloud Apollo Eagles and the Matamidi Zephyrs playing in a third place game. 9 o'clock in the morning, great way to start the day. Your state tournament title dashes are, hopes are dashed, and now you're playing at 9 in the morning just to basically open up the XL Energy Center, Bart, and chase the mice away.
Well, I'm sure they're happy to play a last game. Obviously, they didn't want to play at 9 in the
morning.
When
you lose in sections, you're right.
Indeed, but they get to play another game at the XL Energy Center. It's got to still be a thrill for them, even though the disappointment is probably there.
You know, like you said, you know, they still have a chance to play another game. When you're in the state tournament, if you get to the consolation semis win, you get another one. If you get to the third place game, when you lose in sections, it's done and it's over and it's sudden. It's you're out. So at least you can prepare for your final game.
And you have a chance to go out with a victory, which I think is kind of important. But two very good teams, well-deserving in being here. Not the 9 o'clock game, but at the state tournament, so to speak. But it should be a good contest this early in the morning.
That bordered on a shot.
Well, no, it wasn't a shot by any stretch of the imagination. I have a lot of respect for both of these programs.
We're getting to the Minnesota Wild right now as we delve into that topic. And you know, another win for them as they continue their incredible hot streak right now as they're 8-2 in their last 10. Again, winners of five straight. They have 79 points. They are the top wild card team, 3 points ahead of the Winnipeg Jets, another Central Division foe. And additionally, they are really starting to stalk the Chicago Blackhawks, who needed a shootout victory over the Edmonton Oilers to keep pace with their 4 points on the Wild, Bart.
Well, Edmonton seems to be scrappy. They seem to rise to the occasion. We wish they would have actually had more success last night, but Chicago's reeling a little bit. So to come out of you know, with an overtime win, at least they get their 2 points. But Chicago's been losing some ground, and some local teams have been gaining some ground.
Coaching change was huge for the Edmonton Oilers, and that's absolutely had some positive dividends as they've been at or around 500 since the change. And they are definitely making an impact. They have all the number one draft picks or the first rounders that have been so ballyhooed, and it's time to put that all together. And it certainly seems as though some things are starting to fall into place for them as they can be some issue creators for teams in the Western Conference. But you know, while you have Chicago and the Minnesota Wild's sights, you have 4-point differential between the two. They play each other again. There's a no Patrick Kane in the Chicago Blackhawk lineup. And that doesn't mean they're gonna not win, but it just makes things, I think, matters a little more difficult for them. And then how about this, Bart? You take it a step further. They're just 6 points behind the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, and the Blues have been struggling a little bit of late, but the thing about Edmonton, Pete, is they focus so much on high-end frontline talent that they have to focus a little bit in the draft on defense and goaltending. That seems to be their Achilles heel. They have plenty of offensive upside, but defensively they're having their struggles.
Well, it looks like they have their goaltender in Devan Dubnyk, who's come to the Minnesota Wild, and all he's done is start 23 straight hockey games and only lose a couple along the way. Absolutely. Well, I think a lot of it, too, is the structure. And the buy-in that's played in front of a goaltender. The Minnesota Wild structure and play has been so good in that regard. So to the point at hand, though, for the Minnesota Wild, we were sort of, as viewers and observers and fans and everybody involved with this, just hoping that this team would be able to land themselves a wild card slot and say, okay, boy, let's inch into that eighth slot and enjoy a playoff run, knock off one of those top teams. And now what you have is a team that's 3 points ahead of the second-place Vancouver Canucks in the Pacific Division and also 3 points ahead of the third-place Calgary Flames in the Pacific Division. So they're separating themselves from those competitors as well, but now really have a legitimate opportunity if they can keep playing at this pace, and it's insane. I keep waiting for the wheel to fall off. Not that I expect it, but sure. I mean, just let's be honest. Teams at this level at this time of the year to continue to play as well they are as they are in playoff battle type games and to execute, this is pretty impressive.
Well, it seems like the Wild, once their backs are against the wall, they seem to kind of focus a little bit more, win the battles, they fight through checks. And I think Devan Dubnyk obviously has played very solid in goal, no question about it. The numbers just indicate that. But everybody seems to be buying in. Everybody's getting in front of shots now instead of just waving the stick at it. You know, people are actually committed to the winning game. But the thing I think the most important thing is there was so much negative energy when they were on their losing streak and struggles that it just manifested in itself. But once they started getting a couple wins, feeling good about coming to the rink, work became a little bit easier. Success became a little bit more familiar. I think they've really taken off. So they have the mindset going into each game now with the fact that they're going to at least challenge or win that contest. I think that's a huge difference.
This is a nuts statement, but I'm going to say it. In 42 games, Devan Dubnyk on the season is 27-8-3.
Wow.
He has a 2.09 goals against average, a .929 save percentage. He's posted 6 shutouts. I mean, at this stage, I mean, that's including his Arizona numbers. If he continues to, if he gets up to 50, 55, 60 games, you have to put him in the Vezina conversation here a little bit, don't you?
Well, no question about
it. The most valuable player.
And a lot of talk's been talked about Pekka Rinne, and deservedly so. He's a wonderful goaltending. But the impact that Devan Dubnyk has had on this Wild squad, if he continues his pace, which is a little bit high expectations, obviously he should be in that conversation.
18-3-1 with the Minnesota Wild, a .940 save percentage, and a 1.60 goals against average. Again, all of that is him finding his game. I talked to a couple of scouts here at the XL Energy Center about his game, asking if they were surprised with what they saw, what happened, where was this, the whole thing. And at the end of the day, they said, you know what, I'm from Calgary. I've watched this kid from his Western Hockey League days to here, a big-end talent, but never, you know, they never really saw him put it together. And I don't know if people were not believing it, Bart, or if it was just a matter of time, I guess, or giving him the right opportunity. The skills were there, but the execution wasn't, and he's clearly getting that done right now.
Well, I think the important statement is the right opportunity. I think that goaltender's numbers are a direct reflection of how the team plays in front of him.
No doubt.
If the team plays well and he doesn't see a lot of shots and they give him good looks at the puck, his save percentage is going to be very strong, and his goals against average is going to be low. But if they aren't playing in front of you, the goaltender is really kind of what everybody can focus on, because that's a tangible statistic, and they tend to get too much praise when things are going well and not too much of the scoring when things aren't going as planned.
If those of you are wondering where Chad Graff is at on the program today, he is in the air on his way back from Raleigh-Durham. He has one heck of a schedule. This guy is all over the place, and I think to be in the world he is, being single is not a bad thing, because he is never home, and he is constantly on the move.
Well, and being single does have its advantages, but if you have a very patient wife like I do at home, she doesn't mind the reprieve for me for a while. She doesn't have to hear my voice for a weekend, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and then you lose it. Then it's another week. So
then it's a benefit for everybody.
But Chad will be with us for a segment next week as he'll be in transition, and then he'll be with us the entire rest of the way. A couple of other notes for the Minnesota Wild. Obviously, the Bergenheim trade was made two weeks ago, and then last week two more players were brought in. And this is all at a time when I think everybody was a little bit surprised that moves were made, because I think it was the impression or the understanding that the team is going to sit pat. But, gee, they get a first-round pick in Chris Stewart, a former Colorado Avalanche pick, who has moved to St. Louis for Eric Johnson in that big trade, if you recall.
Sure.
And then, of course, off to Buffalo. Here he is in Minnesota. Couple schools of thought. Kind of concerning when you see that young of a player moving around like this. The question is why. And then on top of that, the answer could be because he's highly desired. That's one of them. And his numbers have been very good, but he's a big, strong power forward. And one of the big needs and the issues this team's needed to address, and we've said it a lot on this show, I've always been concerned about their toughness and whether or not they can handle that. And certainly this addresses that up front. With Bergenheim with a chip on his shoulder when he plays, too.
Yeah, I like the way he plays.
Just ask McKinnon about that.
He doesn't mind getting into the muddy areas and playing a little physical. But a lot of talk was about Jordan Leopold, and obviously deservedly so, coming home to play. Robinsdale Armstrong alum, Gopher alum as well. But I think the Stewart trade was the one that was really a significant trade, because if you look at, Granlund and Parisi, they need a big bopper that can go in and make the defense have their head on the swivel when they're trying to fish the puck off the end boards and such. He plays a physical game, but he also has offensive skills, so he's not going to drag that line down. So I think that was a key acquisition. But one thing I like about Chuck Fletcher is this is the third year in the row where he's made a draft day deal, trying to make this team better, and everything seems to be working out as he thought it would. But, again, we still have a long ways to go, but it's looking pretty positive.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely say this club is 2-for-3, because Jason Pominville late in the season 2-3 years ago, whenever that was, man, that seemed like that was forever ago, made a huge impact, and obviously he's a big part of this team. And the rental for Matt Molson didn't work quite out the way I think they had hoped. But then you have these moves that are being made. But my only concern, and it's a fair one, I believe, is that, you know, you've got a really good chemistry going, and we're hearing all about their top six playing well together, like how they're matched up and what the elements of their lines give. And then the bottom six, we heard so much about how they were playing and the line combos there. You do disrupt the apple cart a little bit, and it does take time for that to adjust. The amazing thing is they're 3-0 since those trades.
And yes, they are. They're playing very, very good. But you brought up about the bottom six and top six, bottom six. But I think that's kind of really the caveat, the ace in the hole that the Wild have, is they can beat you with it with depth. And how long has it been since we've been able to say that? As
never,
far as
really.
Wild. But they can roll four lines if they have to. And keep in mind that they've been on this roll with Jason Zucker on the IR, and he was a very pivotal member offensively for this Wild team. So when he comes back, it's going to be some interesting decisions that are going to have to be made, but nobody wants to come out of lineup.
Well, there's no question that they need to find a way to make up for Zucker's goals, as he was nearing the 20 marker, well on his way to a 30-goal campaign, and it's almost like he had switched spots with Jason Pominville, who was picking up more helpers along the way.
Sure.
His point total was pretty much on pace, but now it's Pominville. I think you noted this. We were talking about this the other day. That is starting to dent the twine now, which is a very nice factor. But I think back to him in the Buffalo Sabres days, Pominville, and the great playoff runs they had when Drew Stafford and Derek Roy and the entire Ryan Miller. Boy, they had some good teams back less than 7-8 years ago. And it was always Pominville in the mix of it, getting the big goals when the times counted the most. He did that last night, too.
Well, in what's important is veteran players have to step up. Losing a player, you have to actually fill that gap incrementally. But I think Pominville's really raised his game quite a bit.
That's going to take us into our next round. We're going to get into the high school hockey realm. Tim Kolomainen is going to be joining us up here in the booth. I'm going to run over to the expo. You and Tim are going to take this thing home. As I head over to the booth for the next 15 minutes, we'll be back with more. It's the On the Ice Radio Show on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Listen to the cemetery trees.
We will. welcome you back to On the Ice. Pete Wagner is currently in transition, heading down to the Let's Play Hockey Expo. We're bringing in Bart Archer, color analyst with Pete for State Hockey Tournament this year, and Tim Kolominen. And guys, how's that hockey tournament doing down there? What are the biggest surprises that you've seen so far?
Well, we had to kick Pete out of the playground here, kick him out of the sandbox for a while so we can talk.
We're running the show now.
I've had a good state tournament so far. I think what we've seen in these, especially in the quarterfinals, a lot of times you expect those quarterfinals, you know, maybe not to, you know, to get a little bit lopsided. Those top seeds tend to be a little stronger than some of the lower seeds. But so far, it's been a terrific tournament all the way through. We've had a lot of close games. Some of those underdogs have actually come through, and I know Pete's going to talk later on about Duluth East, and that's kind of the biggest of the underdogs at this point.
Well, I mean, look at the path that Duluth East has taken. They took out Elk River to get to the state tournament, and then they take down a power in the St. Thomas Academy Cadets, and then they brought down the Edina Hornets. So next on their list is the Lakeville North Panthers. What a great story that's really becoming. But there's been a lot of surprises. I think the only real downer was the Blaine Eden Prairie game to wrap up Thursday night. And it's not really a downer. I think Blaine just didn't play their game, and I think they were a little disappointed, but they came back with a fury on Friday. But, you know, it's been a great tournament so far.
Yeah, I thought Blaine felt a little sleepy for two periods. They kind of awoke in that third period and then carried it over into today. So, you know, on the single-A level here, we actually have the third-place single-A game going on right now. Matamidi has a 2-0 lead late in the first period on Apollo. Apollo is one of those teams at the single-A level that's had a really nice tournament and a nice showing for them. Pete Matnich and those guys, they play a real defensive style. They block a lot of shots. They've got a veteran goaltender in Nick Althaus, and they've had an impressive tournament run so far.
And they're not afraid to go to the net. As sound defensively as they are, they carry the puck in with possession, but they aren't afraid to go to the net. They're very impressive. But it's nice to see St. Cloud Apollo in this tournament. And Mahomita looks off good today. They really do.
You know what? The thing about these third-place games, you know, this early morning 9 a.m. game, let's be honest,
right.
It's kind of friends and family only in here. Downtown St. Paul's like a sleeping bear right now. You can just feel it kind of rumbling a little bit with this game.
And a little cavernous.
Somebody's going to poke it with the stick here, and we're going to wake up about noon for that single-A championship game. But it's still a lot of fun for these kids. And sometimes you don't know how the teams are going to react to this third-place game. Sometimes you see them come out flat as can be. Sometimes they come out with some life, and it looks like Matamidi came out with some life this morning.
Well, indeed, and me and Pete touched on this earlier. You get a chance to play. You get a chance to finish the year on a win. But there's a lot of emotion out there for a third-place game at 9 in the morning. They're pushing and shoving and going to the net, and there's the emotions are up a little bit, but that's what you like to see. But it's a great day in hockey. Saturday night at the X State Tournament doesn't get any better than this, Tim.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the funny thing here, too, we've got, you know, we're going to talk about this a lot more later when Pete gets back on, but, you know, our championship games, we have three of the four teams that were in that championship game last year, too. So, you know, they're familiar teams to people. A lot of the same kids are playing. And, you know, I think folks, when they watch, you know, is this a repeat from last year? I swear I've seen these kids out here before.
Well, it's nice to have some new blood in it, too. I mean, Duluth East, I think everybody has really kind of taken them to heart. But you're right, Tim. East Grand Forks and Hermantown promises to be a great matchup. Hermantown, everybody wants success for Hermantown. But, you know, East Grand Forks coming off being defending champion, they're going to have something to say. I like the brand that East Grand Forks plays. They play a nice physical brand, but they don't take penalties, needless penalties. They play discipline. They can play offensively. It just promises to be a great affair today for the Class A championship.
You know, I've got to ask you, Bart. Now, seeing Duluth East against Lakeville North here later on, what does Duluth East need to do now to continue this run? They've already beaten the number three team, St. Thomas Academy. They've beaten Edina, the number two team, who some people think should have been the number one, if not for that one loss to Lakeville North earlier. Now they're taking on number one, undefeated Lakeville North, another team in search of history. I mean, Edina was searching for that third straight state championship to match Jefferson. Lakeville North is also trying to match Jefferson with a perfect record here, too.
Right. I'm sure Coach Tom Soderdahl has some emotions going right now, but I think what Duluth East has to do, and part of what they did yesterday, is they have to get out of their zone efficiently. I think that's the success that Eden Prairie had in the first two periods, is not only did they get out of the zone efficiently, but they came through the neutral zone with speed. But when it came down to it, Eden Prairie really owned that second period, but only came out with a 2-2 tie. So Lakeville North kind of held themselves in that game until they kind of got their wits about them. But Duluth East, I haven't seen the team work the boards better to their advantage in this tournament. They just really know how to chip it off the boards and then skate into areas. So they're not afraid to put it into an area and then skate into it. But I think Duluth East is surprisingly pretty speedy, and I think they're going to have to use that speed to make Lakeville North defend. If you can get Lakeville North defending their own zone, obviously you're going to have a greater chance of success, but that's a Herculean challenge in front of them. But when Coach Mike Randolph coaches a team, it's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility.
Oh, it was a shock. We watched that game last night with Duluth East winning over Edina 3-1, and I thought, how did that East team lose 10 games this year? I mean, that looks like a one or two loss team the way they're playing right now.
Well, indeed. In fact, that's a really good point, Tim. But I think one thing that we're used to Duluth East is they always have such high-end talent that just separates themselves from virtually everybody else in the state, talking about the Toninatos and the Randolphs and having Mears Moore and Phil Ballou on the point and then solid goaltending as well. This year it's more by committee. They have their leading scorer has 15 goals to date. They do get support, but boy, the Altmans really kind of push that ship forward. But everybody else falls in line, and they're going with the same cadence. So it makes things a lot easier on everybody when everybody's going the same direction. And that's what Duluth East is doing at this point.
Well, we're through one period now here. Matamidi is still holding a 2-0 lead on Apollo in that Class A third-place game. So plenty of good seats. Come on down. I know my family's on their way. They're going to be at this game here shortly this morning, I think.
You can almost pick your spot. So if you're ever going to come down. But what a great day. Hockey Expo, all day long. It's going to be jam-packed. I think, what did he say, 400 exhibits. So there's a lot going on down at the X today. If you can make it down here, wrestle with the traffic, wrestle with pedestrians, it's certainly going to be well worth it.
You know, if you get down here soon, too, you get the privilege. Of seeing Pete on set there at the Let's Play Hockey Expo, too, right? You can throw fruit at him or something.
You're starting to scare people a little bit, but I think you intrigued him with the throwing fruit or throw something at him, but just make sure you don't hurt him because we're going to need him today.
Just insults. Throw insults.
Yeah, he gets enough of that through the course of the week.
Now, the single A, as we get into it here, too, another team kind of in search of destiny, but maybe trying to break a little bit of a recent trend here. Hermantown with 5 straight losses in that Class A championship game. They've looked very impressive so far. St. Cloud Apollo did do a good job of kind of bottling them up in the semifinals.
Yeah, they slowed them down quite a bit.
But still, no goals allowed through 2 games. I know everybody talks about that Hermantown offense, but how about defensively? I mean, they've only allowed, 23 shots in 2 games, 2 shutouts so far?
Well, Hermantown, I think, is very focused this year, obviously. Getting to the state championship 5 times in a row is not an easy task to do. Obviously, a bit of a dubious distinction. They wanted to trend the other direction, but that just means that Coach Bruce Plant is doing things very, very well. Kids love to play for them, but this could be their year of destiny, but they have some work to do against a very good East Grand Forks team. But it just promises to be a good game. But possession is one of the great defenders, and if Hermantown can possess the puck, obviously defensive responsibilities become a little easier.
You know, I'm from the Northwest. Well, I'm not from there originally, but I live now up in the Northwest corner of the state, so I've seen East Grand Forks play a few times this year. And that semifinal game that they played against Matamidi yesterday afternoon, by far the best I've seen them play all year. I think, it's a different team than we saw last year. And we talked about Trevor Selk being one of the defensemen, one of the only, along with Nathan Peabody, the 2 returning defensemen that they had. He's been hurt for a while now, too, and he came back and scored a goal in that semifinal. And I think it really helped them having him back in the lineup, too. But as opposed to last year where they were really defensively, they were led by their defensemen. They had 4 top defensemen who really kind of ran the show for them. This time, they're more of an offensive team. They obviously they're not letting in any goals in this tournament either. But that Dixon Bowen, Tanner Tweeten, and Grant Loven line has really been just kind of the engine that's been driving them so far. Bowen looks terrific. I mean, he moves on the ice better than just about any player I've seen at the Class A level.
Yeah, and he's had a great tournament, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points, obviously an offensive driving force. But one thing I like about East Grand Forks is the grit to their game. I love the well-rounded game. Some teams are offensive, some teams are defense, but the teams that can play both brands and adjust in-game or between periods, really, there's a reason why they're here.
You know, Bruce Plant in the press conference after the semifinal, he watched some of that East Grand Forks game, and he said, man, those guys are tough, they're gritty, and they're going to just bang us all day long. So I think they're ready. I think Hermantown is ready for that kind of a play.
Well, I don't think there are going to be any surprises, but we're going to see 2 very motivated teams. Obviously, East Grand Forks trying to defend and Hermantown trying to grab that first one after 5 defeats. So it's just I can't wait for it to start. It's going to be a long time before it's – or it's going to feel like a long time. But once it gets going, I think this play is going to be rocking pretty good.
You know, those Hermantown kids, they're better than I am, mentally, because I was down there between the boxes, shooting. And those Hermantown kids, they looked so relaxed. I mean, you'd think that, maybe they'd be a little tight coming in after finishing as the runner-up 5 years in a row. And now, all the pressure on them as the one seed to end that. They were relaxed. They were joking around during that Spring Lake Park game in the quarterfinals. They were joking with the cameraman in the box, and Plant was smiling on the bench. And I mean, it just looked like they were having a lot of fun.
Well, the more comfortable you are going into the game, the quicker you can actually, inflict your will or bring your game. But I think the pressure and stress is what you allow into your psyche or your mindset. And if you can kind of insulate yourself from that, you can remain comfortable and you'll have a greater chance of success because you're going to respond better. It's just a natural evolution, but we're going to see who manages their emotions a little better this afternoon.
All right, sounds like we're heading to a break here.
Yes, we are, guys. Thanks, Bart Archer and Tim Colomina, for jumping in for this segment. I'm sure you'll head down and talk to Pete in a bit here. And now we're going to go to Pete live at the Let's Play Hockey Expo right here on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And we welcome you back to the On the Ice radio show here from the Let's Play Hockey Expo at the lovely St. Paul River Center. Mike Compton, our field producer, I guess they call you Mike, right?
Yes, sir.
And then, of course, David Helmer holding down the fort back at the Sports Radio 105, The Ticket Studios. Bart Archer, Tim Colomine, and really nice job. You know, Mike, we talk about the transition game in hockey till we turn blue in the face, right? I mean, we do it all the time?
Yeah.
Terrific transition game by them. So what we did is I started up in the booth, worked my way over here to the Let's Play Hockey Expo, and here we are. And one of the great things about this event is there is every possible aspect of hockey that you can think of here, from training devices to camps, clinics, to apparel. I even saw some golf in the back. There's a direct link there, of course, to the golf. Two games. And then when you go to the east side, you have what? Softball and baseball.
I saw that, yeah, softball, baseball. They even have a paraplegic rugby team playing upstairs.
Right now?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So the doors open at 10 o'clock. Right now we've got a lot of exhibitors setting up for their second of 2 days. I heard there was something in the neighborhood of, 22 to 25,000 that walked through the doors here yesterday. When Tim and Bart get here, one of the things I want to talk about is the record crowd that watched a hockey game indoors in the state of Minnesota yesterday. That was the first session, the Dinah versus Duluth East game. By the way, I got to say, the ticket line is absolutely, that record could be in jeopardy. That was over 21,000 people. What I don't understand is back in the day, 18,568 used to be a complete sellout. I mean, like a standing room only. What in the world? I mean, where are they squeezing 3,000 extra people into this place, especially when you go to that Bud Light lounge that they have on the end? You know, they took out some of those club seats. Where are they squeezing them in here? I wouldn't want to be in that section.
Sardines, man.
Completely. I mean, it was packed. And I think it speaks to a bigger issue, and for me, it's that there's been so much chirping about high school hockey, about it's not good enough, and this and that and the next thing, and you've got to move to the next level, and you got to do this, and nobody cares about it. That is a big bunch of garbage. Well, I mean, look what happened last night.
22,000 people disagreed, sir.
Totally, and I'm sure the TV ratings were right there, too, as well. And the one thing I would say is just from your world, you're a hockey fan, right?
Yes. Yes, baby.
How much chatter have you heard about this tournament out on the street, you know, I mean, from the Twitterverse and everything else that you're doing?
Everybody's talking about Duluth East just being the Cinderella story that has to be seen.
Everybody loves David and Goliath.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wanted to see the two big dogs go at it head-to-head, you know, and just snarl at each other. But, you know, you can't say enough about the work that the Duluth East Greyhounds have done over the past 2 weeks, from their section finals, improbable come from behind, 3-0 down to the Elk River Zimmerman Elks, getting their way all the way to this final, beating what I had ranked in the Minnesota Hockey Magazine as the number 3 ranked St. Thomas Academy Cadets. And then the number, what I had 2 ranked, Edina Hornets. And guess who's next? The number 1 ranked?
Lakeville North.
And before that, guess who was ranked 5?
Who was
4? Elk River Zimmerman.
Okay, the team that they
So they would go 4-3-2-1 in their last 4 games, and you tell me that's a fluke. You can't.
You can't. Especially coming back from deficits like you were talking about against very good teams.
With power plays that are devastating, and you take some undisciplined, stupid penalties, you're going to pay for it, and they do. I mean, that's the thing they do. And there's a great article in the MN Hockey Mag about Mike Randolph. It's called Head Hound Rolls with the Changes. And one of the things that we talked about, because obviously I'm actually the managing editor of the high school publication or side of things with that website. That's the mnhockeymag.com. And we talked about storylines, and Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press had done such a great job in nailing down the Jefferson three-peat story, as well as the undefeated Jefferson story being on the line. And at the end of the day, that's been kind of well covered and well spoken. What else is out here to talk about? And to me, it's, the Duluth East Greyhounds have come into this tournament each year. Sometimes they've had 1, 2, 3 losses on the season. They've had some incredible talent that have peppered their lineup, and Mike Randolph's teams have gotten there, but not quite gotten it done. This is a team that got here that, really, at the end of the day, I think everybody was surprised even got here. And I'm sure Bart and Tim, when I was making my transition, discussed that very notion that this is a team that, by and large, it's, here they are. And so I think that is the bigger story, is the job that Mike Randolph. I mean, the story there is a coach in the 90s who had Spehar and Locker. Tim Kolomainen, are you guys out of breath from running over from the press box? Did you grab a couple of donuts? Go ahead and put that on. You can talk.
After that quick line change.
You good?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you guys act like the thing was going to electrocute you.
You never know when me sitting there.
I know. It's like you're going to get zapped. It's like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
You're giving me those expectant eyes.
I was asking you a question. It's called addressing your person. No, but I think back to the Chris Locker, Dave Spehar era, Dylan Mills even kind of into the 2000s. And the Hounds, they're a reviled team up in the Northland. I mean, they're the cake eaters up there.
Oh, right? they are the Edina of the North. We talked about
question,
that last night.
But they love them when they get down here and do some damage, don't they? I mean, hey, they're one of us now. But it's one of those things where Mike Randolph's teams always had a swagger. And I think people were sometimes a little envious of that. I mean, not quite to the Edina level when it came to the state tournament, but they were 1A and 1B. Now they're the darlings, and now he's the veteran coach with the son who's lighting it up at Nebraska Omaha, and a very likable character. But I think his role as kind of the villain has turned into the role as now the loved underdog.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think they're reveling in that right now. I talked about that last night with you guys, too. Just, being that Bart described them as the blue-collar team, and they don't get that. That's not a place they're in very often.
We chuckle when we hear that, because, but that's the way they play.
Exactly. Everybody loves the blue-collar team. Everybody loves the underdog. And Duluth East, after years of being, being the bully up there, they are the underdog this year. They were only the 3 seed in that section. There's 4 upsets in a row they've had to pull off in the playoffs. They beat Grand Rapids in the section semifinal. They beat Elk River in the section final. And then they come down here, beat number 3 St. Thomas Academy and number 2 Edina. And now they've got number 1 Lakeville North.
Well, that's what we just said to Mike. And, I had Elk River Zimmerman 4. So 4-3-2-1. Last 4 games. That's not a fluke.
Blast off tonight then, right?
Absolutely.
We'll see. But when I said they were a blue-collar team, it wasn't a disrespectful comment. I'd almost like to recant that statement. But what I'm saying is you guys got to get on me. And I guess deservedly so. But I have a lot of respect for them. They have a lot of talent. They always have. But I think it's either the two big teams facing in the championship game or you get the underdog in the favorite. And I think that this plays into the underdog favorite. But the darlings of the North, everybody likes the teams from the North coming in and having success. But I like the matchup tonight. I think it's a contrast of styles to a certain degree.
I don't blame you for the blue collar comment. I think you're right on that one. I wouldn't recant that. I'd go right with that one.
Okay. No need to recant that one. Yeah. But it's kind of fun to make fun of because that was the last thing they used to be known as.
I mean,
and even today in this era, they're not known as there.
Well, think about it now. I mean, you've got star players on a lot of these teams that are here, obviously. Who do you consider the star on the Duluth East team? You don't. There's nobody that really
stands. Nick and Ash Altman and Brian Button, and I'd go with Lutzka.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of very good players.
And I would go with Gunnar Haug.
Gunnar Haug has had a great tournament
from
so far.
Hopkins, Minnesota.
Jeez, you always work that angle, and I like it.
I love it. Anytime there's a good tendy, I always kind of like to point that out.
The cradle of goaltending in Minnesota.
It is.
Right
there. I was talking to Paul Ranheim after the game, and we were talking about goaltending, and you know, how good Edquist was for Lakeville North and how important it is. And he said, what do you guys, you know, we need to replicate what you're doing over there with your program and what's making these goaltenders so good. I said, well, just play a probably a level higher than you should, get buried and get them a bunch of shots. And if they can make it through to high school, they're going to be tougher than nails because they're used to it. No. But what it was is I said, you know what? You reach out to a premier goaltender development. That's what we've done. Mitch Baker does a great job and, they start with the Mite goalies. If you're not sure you want to play goalie, you can come in. There's gear there. We get it on the kids. They give it a shot. And, you know, they work with these kids every single Sunday night throughout the course of the year. Then we contract them to work 10 practices and some select games where they do some coaching from the stands, take some video, do some video analysis. And it's translating to, we had 4 PWA goalies trying out for 2 slots. And that, I mean, of that level. And it's because of the efforts that Mitch Baker and his crew have put in. So I wanted to put that little plug out there because that was a direct conversation to how do we do this.
I think it's important that they can actually try goaltending to see if they like it. And you'll know within the first 10 minutes if they're going to play goalie or not. If they can survive that 10 minutes, I think you might have something on your hands.
Well, you know, it's a topic that's talked about a lot. And, you know, I'm passionate about it because I'm one that regretted every minute of it that I played. Not when I was, but when I shut her down, I'm like, why did I just do that? What a colossal waste. But as I have a love for the position, of course. But if it's like referees, if you don't have goalies, or you don't have referees, you can't play. I mean, there's a ton of guys that want to dangle and play, but you need goaltenders. It's easy to kind of, that's not the sexy position, let's be honest.
I was just going to say that. It's easy to let that slide if you're a coach. I mean, you're focusing on your systems and your breakout and all that kind of, you know, power play. And you just, the goalies, just kind of let them do their own thing, and you just don't worry about them a lot of times. But, I mean, it's obviously, if you can get yourself a goaltender, if you can develop a system where you develop goaltenders, you're ahead of the curve on that one.
Well, I remember when I played way back in the day is they'd work the forwards, they'd work the defense, and the goaltender just sat and took shots. But now...
Sometimes, right?
Yeah, if they're lucky.
And heaven forbid it was outdoors, right, Bart? Or you'd be freezing.
But a lot of times goalies just never wanted to come off the ice. That was part of their mindset to be involved. Or like you said, you just you need goaltenders to play. Somebody had to fill
that
role.
That's the biggest issue. Absolutely. Is making sure that it is available for players to at least be attracted to. So that was one of the core conversations. You know, so from Duluth East perspective, I think that's the great story there. So I would check that story out on the mnhockeymag.com. That one's on Mike Randolph. You know, Nick Kelly wrote that. He's a student at Lakeville North, and he has really stepped into a writing role. Hey, by the way, this place is starting to come to life. We must be getting close to 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we had to negotiate our way or navigate our way through a lot of bodies waiting to get into the expo. So come on down.
I've got the voice that's battle-hardened from the state tournament. I got to start talking louder to talk over all these other noises.
I know. You got the scabs on the throat, the inside of the throat.
Well, do you need to paint the picture?
Well, you certainly
or,
got the
or is it that you're hearing them?
Yeah. No, I can see it. You're like bleeding from the corner of your mouth
right now.
Make
it sound like one of those cartoons, you know, when the guy yells and you can see the throat. Very solid. So, but anyway, so he's a young kid from Lakeville North High School that is into the journalism side of things and doing a wonderful job.
It's a great photo, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Is that you? Captured in the. That's almost Herb Brooks like with the statue out front. Next thing you know, better than he's getting a big head. We're going to come back with more from the Let's Play Hockey Expo. This is the On the Ice Radio Show on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. This is the On the Ice Radio Show on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Bart Archer working a little Ramones power chords. Now he worked it over to the ride cymbal, and he's got the face looking like Ricky Rocket. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I like the lead-in music.
It's well thought out. You know what the thing is? We don't mix it up very much. And by the way, a production note back to David Helmer. You're on your own for an hour or two. You ready for that?
He's capable.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I can tell you can barely stand yourself right now. So this show, of course, a two-hour special as the Let's Play Hockey Expo continues. I see Doug Johnson just walked in, and our hope is to have him on the air to talk a little bit about this great event and all of the great things that he's done here for the game of hockey and the state of hockey. And, of course, the state high school hockey tournament is in full-fledged at the XL Energy Center. One of the things that we talked about, and obviously this is a very high school-centric show, we touched on the Wild and the great trades they've made and really how they've worked their way through them with a couple of quality road wins, as we like to call them, and the play of Devin Dubnyk. You know, I do worry about, and I mentioned this on Mike Morris' show, that I worry about overuse, Bart. I think about Mike Liut. I call it Mike Liut syndrome. Remember that back in the St. Louis Blues, Hartford Whaler days?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, and they move different muscles, but you have to have a lot of ability to play goaltender. But I think the most important part is the mental. You have to be strong mentally to be able to play that position. But goaltending has its challenges, no question.
It's tough to blame Mike Yeo for writing him, though, like this. I mean, they were obviously out of a playoff spot, and they needed to do something. They needed to go on a run, and he's kind of powered that right now. And you think, boy, I don't want to get this guy out of the lineup. I understand it totally.
It's a good position to be in. It's a position of strength, so he can actually make a decision. But I think you have to ride the wave until it hits the beach, and so far it looks like that's not going to come anytime soon.
I just say that is a statement and a half. If you've got back-to-backs, you're tossing a guy out there 23 times, you're desperate to get into the postseason, yet you still won't go to one of your other guys. What does that say to them? What does that say about your confidence in them? I mean, this is unprecedented.
Well, I think the justification is he keeps winning. They keep playing well in front of him. But there's going to be a time when they're going to have to actually make a decision, sit him down. I'm not worried so much about the physical part of it, but the mental part of it. The mental part, if you get stale mentally, it can have an effect on the physical part of it. So, you know, you worry about injuries a little bit. Just the mental part, as long as he's mentally strong and fresh, keep playing him. But as soon as he shows some signs of fatigue, I'd say sit him. And you know, if you win, you win. If you don't, you don't. But you have to sometimes take a step back to take a step forward.
You just feel like the decision-making is so fragile with that. I don't blame him. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
No,
because your returns were dismal. But at some point, those other two guys are pros. They're not stupid. And they're sitting there going, okay.
Well, you see, now you've kind of built yourself a little bit of a cushion now. I mean, you've gotten yourself
a little bit.
When I say little, I mean maybe
there's still 20
sit him
plus
for one
games,
game, just to,
games left. Yeah, 18, whatever it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see somebody else in goal here sometime very soon.
Well, and everybody's assuming that if they put Kemper in, that he's going to lose the game.
Did you see what he did in Iowa?
Well, but nonetheless, it's not the Wild.
That was the AHL.
It's not the Wild playing at this level down in Iowa, though. With the Wild, if they can sustain their level of play, I think that they can put Kemper in and have success, and Backstrom in and have some success as well. But everybody migrates toward the negative, where it might not be a negative.
All I'm saying is the decisions have been made to run with one, which for the reasons we understand. Tim brings up the cushion factor.
They earned it.
A very thin cushion.
Very thin. And I think they're looking to continue their efforts. Again, I just worry about overuse. Mike Liut, when he would get into the postseason with the St. Louis Blues and the Hartford Whalers, would just absolutely have nothing left. Nothing. And he'd either get hurt, if you remember.
Yep.
His career was cut short. I equated a lot to pitching. It's interesting, in the National Hockey League since the post-lockout era of 2004, we've seen goaltenders now play 70 games a year, 72 games out of 82, where it used to be 60-40 break, 50-50, and it's not that anymore. And I know some of that's salary cap-based, but... wow, I mean, it's tough.
Well, we talk about Mike Liut, but think about Grant Fuhr when Mike Keenan coached the St. Louis Blues. They beat him down into the ground,
and
I think it actually ended his career, basically.
Absolutely.
You know, not to be flippant about it, but, you know, the Wild certainly have never had any problems with injuries on goaltending in the playoffs, have they?
No.
I just bring that up here.
Yeah. Tongue firmly in cheek.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of so you go there. So, you know... you wonder what's going to happen if they have to throw another guy in there. If something happens, what's the end result? Are they ready?
Look what happened with Josh Harding, though. I mean, he came in and played actually very sound goaltending, and that could feasibly happen, but that's got to be in the mix. That has to be in the thoughts of Mike Yeo, so he's going to have to manage this remaining games with some discretion, but he's going to have to make some tough decisions.
You know, you say Kemper, he hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire here lately, but, you know, when he first got in there, too, he had a nice little run when he,
yeah,
you know.
I remember the first 10 games of the year, he's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. He's capable.
Last year, you know, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, everybody knows that this league, the goaltending game is, everybody's physically fine. They could move laterally great, but it's a position that requires an intense amount of decision-making at a very quick rate. And a lot of it's a muscle memory-based thing based off what your mind is telling you to do. And if your mind isn't right and you're not ready for the transitions of what this league delivers for you, it's a long process to get to be a great NHL goalie.
Well, go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, you might want to change the name of the show to In the Crease. We got serious goaltending talk going on here.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of weird how it's evolved to that. But, I mean, I guess we're kind of talking a little bit about, you know, and I can say this, and I've said it a million times, is when I was a kid, I had Warren Strelo was my was one of the goalie coaches I went to constantly from 1978 to 1983-84, whatever it was. And he truly is the godfather of the position. If you want to, you know, when Evgeny Nabokov retired, if you guys saw that retirement speech, he recognized Warren Strelo as really the man that allowed him to win 300 games and put him in the position to do that. So I guess it's an area of strength to speak about, and this is an area of topic with the Wild, because without it, they aren't here. That's why we're there.
Well, maybe Kemper's more in line with being a backup goaltending, seeing the spot duty, because if, you know, after that 10 games, he was lights out, but then I think he got kind of mentally fatigued, and that started to kind of chip away at his confidence a little bit. Maybe being that backup spot duty goaltender is right in his wheelhouse.
You're on that, and then I would say this, is I think he needs a full load in the American Hockey League. That's what I think. You know, I want to see him carry two seasons with a run to the Calder Cup there and deliver. I think that is more what is he needs and is better for him instead of baptism by fire just because we don't have a choice.
I was just going to say that, yeah, the same thing. You know, you just obviously he got in there before he was ready, and he showed a little something to start with, but yeah, you want to maybe season him a little bit too, you know. Obviously it's not, you know, it didn't work out after that first 10 games here.
What is this, a steak? Season?
Yeah, well,
put a little seasoning on that.
I'm getting hungry this morning. You know what?
By the way, did you have you had the buffet?
I understand it's wonderful up there, and that you guys are going to
club
pay for me there.
I'm right back there again, Bart. You've got to come into that buffet on the club level. It is outstanding.
Yeah, when Pete goes in there, they yell wags.
Well, here's the funny thing: I got chirped because I only took one plate. You know, I've got Neiland all over me. My son Daniel just saying, "Oh my, you didn't teach me this way."
Wow, a little
bit double fisting it. You know, they got two plates, one in each hand, or what?
Just piled it higher.
Oh my goodness!
But it was a salad.
Oh, you'd have fallen asleep in those games.
It was
last
a salad.
Night. Oh, you would have just
a salad.
How about Eden Prairie in Lakeville North last night? We're going to transition to that in a bit as we come up toward our next segment. But you know, Eden Prairie Eagles had that Lakeville North team on the ropes, and they let them off the hook. They thought they were who they thought they were, and you know, crown them.
Well, the way that I look at it is the first period was basically kind of a bit of a wash, but Eden Prairie really kind of inflicted their will in that second period. They outshot them by a large margin, but they only came out of that period 2-2, and I think that was the best that Eden Prairie's played to date. And that has to be a little discouraging for Coach Lee Smith, but encouraging at the same time. But Lakeville North, once they found their groove, they really started to put the heat on DeRocher and the Eden Prairie Eagles. But very impressive the way Eden Prairie played, but they just couldn't sustain it. But, you know, that's what happens against great teams like this Lakeville North Panther squad.
You know, not bringing it back to goaltending again, but I think Ryan Edquist really kind of saved Lakeville North's bacon in those first two periods, yeah.
And that's what good goaltenders can do. If you're not on your game and a goaltender can make a couple saves so you can weather that storm and get your feet about you and get your rhythm going. And I think Edquist not only made some great saves, great lateral movement, great anticipation, but he works the stick so well.
Yeah, he does.
He's a third defenseman back there, Pete. You brought that up
last
night.
They've already got four good ones.
And he not only that, but he can deflect rebounds to areas of safety or to his defensemen so they can start in transition and get out of the zone efficiently. He's just a unique goaltender, and I think we're going to appreciate his talents, but he's going to be called upon a couple times tonight, and I'm sure he's going to at least give them a good chance to win.
Didn't you feel, though, at after the first period, you know, Lakeville North was feeling pretty comfortable, and then the next thing you know, it was Eden Prairie comes out of the chute in the second period and just absolutely went to work. They were so good.
And that was against a very good Lakeville North defensive team. People talk about their offense, but I think they're being undervalued defensively. But Eden Prairie gave them all they can handle. If you can get Lakeville North skating backwards as opposed to skating forwards, obviously it increases your chance for success.
That holding penalty was the turning point.
It was
point.
Interference.
Or interference, whatever.
It's the strangest looking interference.
I know. I've never seen a guy have to get scraped off the ice with a spatula, and it's an interference or interference call. Really? But then he had a couple of great shifts after.
Yeah, so, very motivated.
So if I'm Eden Prairie, I'm like, yeah, he is really, really banged up there. You know, I mean, you know how that all goes in the game. But, yeah, I mean, overall, guys, the attendance here has been just fantastic. The weather is just awesome. It's, you know, people are coming here in shirt sleeves the way it's been the past couple of days. And these teams have not disappointed in any way, shape, or form. I love the way the East Grand Forks Green Wave and Matamidi Zephyrs just rolled up their sleeves. That was probably the best game of the tournament.
Oh,
comfortable
absolutely.
In saying that.
You just saw the intensity right off that opening faceoff. Those first two periods in particular, those two teams were just banging on each other. You know, Bruce Plant, we talked about this earlier, in his press conference, he watched some of that, obviously, that East Grand Forks Matamidi game. And he talked about how physical East Grand Forks was. Just tough, hard-nosed kids. You know, it's that old classic northern style of hockey where they just bang you and they bang you some more and just wear you down and grind on you.
And it's not
cheap. But they're so skilled,
too. They're not cheap either.
They're not,
no. So it's purposeful physical play, which has been really what their calling card has been with the ability to put the puck in the net. But nobody talks about Josh Weber, their goalie. I think he's really good.
He's solid. You know, I think maybe because he's not
flashy.
Out
of trouble.
Well, he's not flashy out there. He's just really steady.
He's not very noisy at all, and he gets the job done. So, wow, that's hour number one. It's in the can. Zach Halverson, great to see you. Andrew Cobbsey from the Hockey Giant Superstore is going to be joining us here at the top of the hour. We'll be bringing the guests through here. We're going to file them through, continue the hockey talk from the Let's Play Hockey Expo. This is the On the Ice radio show on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.